Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Joy to the World is one of those songs that I cannot help but stand up and sing. It's one of those songs that I cannot help feel good. So we need to sing the real version, indeed, to let us feel the joy of Christmas.
Would you stand and sing that with us, please? Sing it, church.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations proof the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders.
Seated.
So does that song not make you feel good? It kind of makes me joyful to hear that song. And that's the theme of this worship service is joy, because that's one thing that, we're praying for a lot of people. You can see in your prayer list, there's a lot of people that need to be prayed for. There's a lot going on in the world. But at the very basis of the Christian experience is joy. In fact, early Christians used to, when a fellow Christian would die, would parade their body through town shouting gleefully and joyfully because they were so excited that they were going to get to go to heaven. They were so excited because of the news of salvation and resurrection from their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that they couldn't help their joy but overflow out into their world and out into their environment. And that is not a reputation that Christians enjoy in the 21st century. Some of us are deemed as cynical. Some of us are deemed as judgmental. Some of us are deemed as heretical in some respect. But the one thing that seems to be lacking is that overflowing joy. So I wanted to get us into a little bit of a good mood, if you're not already there, this worship service. So enjoy for a little bit before we get into the deep theological truths. So during a fiery sermon about temperance, a preacher began to shout, "If I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and I'd throw it in the river." And he followed this with, "And if I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it and I'd throw it in the river with the beer." And with even more emphasis, he shouted, "If I had all the whiskey in the world, I would take it and I would throw it into the river." And with a slam of his fist on the old wood pulpit, the preacher sat down. And a nervous-looking choir director then approached the pulpit and with a frail voice said, "Now if you would please stand and sing hymn number 365, Shall We Gather at the River?" So after one Christmas Eve service, the preacher was recovering from what he had thought to be one of his finest performances, this massive attempt to reach out to the Christmas and Easter crowd. And he was gathering up his Bible and his notes when an 8-year-old boy came to him and said, "Preacher, I don't want you to worry. When I get bigger, I am going to make lots of money, and I am going to give you some." Now, the church was in some financial constraints at the time, some financial strains, and the preacher was confused about this and said, "Thank you, son, but why are you going to give me money specifically?" And the boy said, "Well, I just heard my dad tell his friend that you're one of the poorest preachers we've ever had." And then lastly, Father O'Malley was driving down to Boston on Christmas Eve when he was stopped for speeding in Medford. The highway patrol officer smelled alcohol in the priest's breath and then saw an empty wine bottle on the floor of the car. Rolling his eyes, the officer asked, "Father, have you been drinking?" "Only water," replied the good Father O'Malley. The policeman asked, "Then how come I smell wine?" And the priest looked at the bottle and said, "Good Lord, he's done it again!" All right, so we got a few laughs out of all those. You can thank the internet. Maybe not the funniest jokes in the world, but Even the ones that, you know, even those jokes that make you grin at least put you in kind of a laughing mood. They put you in an upbeat mood. They put you in this joyful mood in which you can engage the world then knowing that there is good. There is something to hold on to and something to grasp out of this. And I thought it'd be good if we lighten the mood with joy to the world, because after all, this is what Christmas is supposed to be about. That I've been saying, Christmas is about the hope that Jesus brings in the world. It's about the peace that Jesus brings in the world. It's about the love that Jesus demonstrates once he gets in the world and eventually leaves the world and comes back. But overwhelmingly, our response to this is what Christmas is about, because it's a celebration of what happened. So our response is what Christmas is about, and our response ought to be joy. It ought to be excitement. It ought to be living it up to some extent. It ought to be shouting praises to God because of what has happened. And honestly, the intent of the song, which flows from the scripture, from Joy to the World was written from, is the same as this. This is our scripture verse for the day, and it's about joy. Psalm 98, verses 4 through 9. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and people with equity. Now, to fully grasp this, we really need to understand where it comes from. This is one of the Psalms. It's kind of smacked, it's a little three-fourths of the way through the book of Psalms. And Psalms is a collection of songs. It's a collection of praise songs or hymns that would be sung in worship or chanted or spoken in worship. And they are emotional or poetic outpourings of how people understand God and the world. These are, they have theology involved in them. They have statements about God in them, but they are poetic. They are responses. And many of them are tied to past events. Some of them are responses hundreds of years later about the Exodus, of joy of God bringing us out of Egypt. And we remember that through our songs. Some of them are poems written in the moment about King David being pursued by his enemies or pursued by King Saul. And, oh Lord, why have you... Why will you not deliver me from my enemies? And some of them are laments of, you know, by the rivers of Babylon, we lay down. How can we sing our song in a strange land that come out of these trying to figure out what God's will is in the world and what God's actions are bringing about. And these songs would be chanted in front of the tabernacle, which is the tent that the Ark of the Covenant would be held out. And then once the Temple of Solomon was built, it was only the Levites, it was the priests who were allowed to stand on the steps and chant these psalms, leading the people in worship, essentially. And some psalms are, like I mentioned, lament psalms, but not this one. This is a psalm that expresses the unquestionable joy that God is the judge and the ruler of the earth. And it says in verse 3, which we didn't read, God has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. God has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. God has remembered us. God has saved us. God has brought forth his son for us. And this is a melodic reminder that God will come again to set things right the way that God intends them to be, and that God will judge the world not based upon our desires, but upon righteousness. And that's good news, because I don't want my own viewpoint to be the judgment of the entire world. I would much rather be in the hands of an all-knowing, all-loving God, one who bases judgment upon perfect love. And this is a reminder, this song and this psalm, a reminder that one day all the stress in our lives will be replaced with nothing but praise for our Savior and love from our Savior. The very essence of why Jesus came in the first place. And so for 21st century McKinney folks, this might have an awesome message. It might sound like an awesome message. But the original presentation of this Psalm 98 might have left something lacking, as it would have been chanted in Hebrew or Latin or English or something like that. And people might have appreciated this, and some people may still do, but it would have sounded something like this. And I promised earlier that you wouldn't have to hear me sing again. I lied. But it would sound like something, you know, it's like, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Does that get you going for the Christmas spirit? Maybe if someone better was singing it, then it would get you going for the Christmas spirit. And there are people that still float some people's boats. I have plenty of friends who chant psalms, who go to meditational songs like this. But there was a young man named Isaac Watts, who was a kid growing up in England, and he heard the psalms day after day and mass after mass in the Anglican churches of England. And one, they were being sung in Latin for a long time, and then they started singing them in English, and he finally started to catch on to what they were about. And the legend has it that Isaac Watts, this young, probably teenager at the time, went up to the vicar of the Anglican church and in a massive show of audacity said, "Vicar, why is such a good message so depressingly sang?" And the vicar said, apparently, "Young man, if you have something better, I would be delighted to hear it." In a very sarcastic tone, not realizing how ambitious young Isaac Watts was. And so that night they held an evensong service. Evensong happens as the day is breaking, as the sun is going down, and they sing praises for the day that has gone before. Young Isaac brought forth his very first hymn that day, fully composed, fully written out, and they sang it that night. Well, it wasn't Joy to the World, but Joy to the World came later because Isaac started to catch the hymn writing bug, and he started to write songbooks, and he started to publish joyful music for the church to sing, which, as we talked about God Rest You Merry Gentlemen last week, that was done by lay people who were needed to feel that presence of God in their lives. They needed to feel something exciting coming from the church, and so they began to write hymns, and Isaac is one of these people that begins to write hymns in this. And in 1719, he published Joy to the World, and it's based on the second half of Psalm 98, and it's this rousing tune about God's glorious love and reign over all the world, as it says in the song, "As far as the curse is found," or "As far as there are people in need of God's redeeming love and God's joyful presence in their lives." And it's the same thing that happens, and we see this in the Gospels, John 3:17. "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." If you look at the entire Gospel of John, there's just over and over repeated, that God does not destroy the world, God does not condemn the world, God does not hate the world, but indeed God loves the world. God calls his friends. God came to save the world. God is coming to redeem and restore for a joyful obedience and joyful reign. And somehow along the way, this song got turned into a Christmas song, of all things. Now, if you're like me, I can't imagine Christmas without hearing Joy to the World at least once. I mean, it's the Christmas song. It's been a Christmas song my entire life. It's been a Christmas song since around the early 1900s or so. But what's weird is that the subject matter of this song doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. It is about Christ's second coming, and Psalm 98 is about the Messiah coming. This whole theme of the song, the whole theme of God's perfect love, is all about Easter. Essentially, and somehow along the way, we turn this into cute baby Jesus that we celebrate and Joy to the World. But why not Christ the King Sunday? Why not Easter? Why do we do this surrounding the joy of Christmas? And it's because of this. And this is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." At Christmas time, Joy to the World is a theological statement when sung. That while we wait for God to enter fully into the world again, we recognize that at a point in history, God did come fully into this world through Jesus. The very full presence of God was made available to us, and through that life that would grow to encompass all of the human experience, God would save and sanctify the good life worth living. It's the doctrine of the incarnation sung in Joy to the World, that when Jesus came as an infant and lived all of life, that God redeemed all of life. That God saved every single person through the very first time. That we are waiting for the second coming, we are doing this, but it's a theological statement that at this very time when Jesus is born as an infant is the very time of the beginning of salvation. That God has judged through Jesus what is good and mighty, and God has judged what is not to be done. God has lived to end sin and death, and God has lived to bring life and joy. And so when we sing, "He rules the world with truth and grace," we literally sing joy that Jesus is the king over all creation. And in fact, it was through Jesus that the world was created. And at Christmas and Easter, it was through Jesus which the world will be redeemed. And so we sing that God desired to bring joy into the world from the very beginning and recapitulated that in the form of Jesus Christ. And so chances are you feel warm fuzzies, I hope, when you sing the song. It's one of my favorite songs, and so that's why we did it, because it was my favorite song. But most people, even if you don't feel warm fuzzies from the song, don't out and out despise the song. Because it's catchy, it's positive, it's a very strong song lyrically and theologically. But my hope is that we will move our celebration of joy to the world beyond Christmas, where we pigeonholed it as a Christmas song, and realize that life must play out as Christmas throughout the year. That God must continuously be entering into our lives, and that God must continuously be shining forth in everything that we do, and we recognize God in everything that we do, so that our joy will burst forth, that all of the joy of the Christmas lights and the Christmas season and everything that we do around this holiday time when we ought to celebrate, yes, that everything we do that would carry forth throughout the year. Because just like Joy of the World was this kind of second coming kingdom righteousness song that got pigeonholed into Christmas song, so too is our joy most of the time. That around Christmas, everyone gives a little more. They're a little more cheerful. They're happier. They make more baked goods, which make everyone feel good. They do all sorts of things at Christmas time that are just cathartic and wonderful, and it is the happiest time of the year for people who aren't experiencing tragedy at the time. And then January comes, and February comes, and March comes, and April comes, and by the time we get to June and July, it's just hot. And we complain about the heat. We complain about things. We start to lose that sense of joy and that compassion for other people, that feeling of us being Christ into the world that we feel so strongly at Christmas time. Why can't we spread our joy to the world? Why do we have to pigeonhole joy to one day or one season or one time? But why can we not go forward being the light and life of Christ through all times? Because it was through Christ that the world was created. It was through Christ that the world was lived out. It was through Christ that the world was redeemed. And it was through Christ that the world will come to know the good and perfect reign of God. And so if it was through Christ, the one who comes at Christmas time in which all that was created and that entire way of being was created, and it was through Christ that we can continue on and we continue to live the life that is worth living, the life that is full of cheer because of the work that Jesus has done on the cross for us. And so with that thought, as we go forward, knowing that Jesus gives us life to live abundantly and life to live eternally, I just want to leave you one more for the road, leave you in a good mood. So after dying in a car crash, three friends go to heaven for orientation. After the tour and instructions on fastening their wings to their shoulders, they are each asked the same question. When you are in your casket, friends and family are mourning over you. What is it that you wish them to say about you? That is the question we've all asked about ourselves. I'm sure at one point in another, we ask, you know, what would my funeral look like? What would people say about me if I weren't here? What would people say about me when I wasn't listening? And so the first guy immediately responds, I would like to hear them say that I was one of the great doctors of my time, that I came up with revolutionary new medicines to help people, that I was constantly on call, that I wanted to be someone who healed the nation and helped heal the world. I want to be known as a great family man as well. And so the angel says, okay, and then the second man is up there and says, I would like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and I was a wonderful school teacher who made a huge difference in the lives of children so that our future generations would know what is right and what is wrong. They would have great jobs, that they would be educated, and they would have hope for their own future. So I want to be known as a great teacher, a great educator. And the angel says, okay, very, very good. And then he moves to the last guy, and the last guy hasn't said anything, and so he's watching, and the last guy thinks for a little bit. And says, well, sir, if you were at your funeral and you wanted to hear one thing said about you, what would that one thing absolutely be? And he thinks for a little while longer, and he says, I've got it. And he says, well, what is the one thing you would like to be said at your funeral? And he says, oh, my goodness, he's moving. You got it. There you go. So may we take the joy of Christmas. May we hear that this is Christmas, next Christmas, and all the time in between as we light up the world with laughter, with joy, with the cheer of Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of lightheartedness. Thank you, God, for being present in all situations. Thank you, God, for the ability to be joyful. Let us take the joy of Christmas time and all the hope that comes with this season. Let us take the peace that comes into our lives knowing that salvation is here. Let us take the love that you display in your life and through the cross and through the resurrection, and let us take the joy that is our response to that. And let us not keep it in this place or in our hearts, but let us be exuberant in that joy so that everyone who knows us would know we are Christians by our hope, our peace, our joy, and our love. And so, Lord God, this worship service is for you, and we laugh for you, and we sing for you, and we express our faith for you, and we will do so out in the world as well. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.